Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Once I left home, there was no turning back, if you know what I mean. On so many levels.
I get it. Yeah.
But congratulations on the book. I dived in yesterday. I haven't got all the way through it, but I'll get there. But no, it's no small feat to write a book. And I think what you're offering is quite a unique perspective on particularly on life as a digital nomad. So to kick it off, like what led you to become, call it a full-time traveler, digital nomad?
It started my last year at university where I was about to enter the working world, which is a really horrible time, I think, in a person's life. It's a lot of challenges. And in that year of my life, 7 people died.
Oh gosh.
Very unexpectedly. Well, some people had cancer, heart attack. That's just normal. There was also a plane crash. One of my aunts walked out of the front door of where she worked and was hit by a car in the parking lot. I mean, it just shaped this worldview for me so much as I'm looking, what do I do with my life? And all of these things to the people around me are happening that made me feel that I cannot waste any time. I have no idea. I had this very intense sense of time. And I also thought, well, life must balance it all out then. Like, we are all living with these incredible risks. And, life is very high stakes. So your career must really balance that out. And a career must be just the most fulfilling thing in the world. And I entered the working world and I felt that that wasn't how I would say the average person felt. And everyone kind of spent the day waiting for 5 o'clock and then spent the week waiting for the weekend. And I thought, I do not have time for this because I don't know. I really felt like I could get hit by a meteorite tomorrow that comes crashing through the atmosphere. And I was really interested in traveling. Like, I think a lot of people have a curiosity. And I started talking to travelers online in these like Facebook groups. I didn't really know anyone who traveled a lot in real life. And beyond like a vacation, you know, I didn't know people who like did it as a lifestyle. And everyone said, you won't regret it. No one regrets traveling was something I kept being told over and over again. So to me, that felt like the path that statistically seemed like something I could, you know, feel confident about and not regret. And thanks to online work, I could fund that. So I found work online and set off as a digital nomad in 2017. And I've visited the US where I'm from, but I haven't lived there since. I've been abroad the whole time, living abroad since.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when, you know, particularly when people post, they don't necessarily post anything and that's fine. Like, that's cool. But then as soon as they're on holiday, it's like, wow, look at me, I'm on holiday. It's like you're saying, it's like the holiday is when the living starts. But it's almost like, why can't that sense of living and joy be like all the time? I mean, there's a lot of realities to it. But what I like about what I read in your book is that you're addressing some of the challenges and the realities of this type of lifestyle, because especially this in this day and age, you know, we see the perfect photos and the look at me kind of thing, but I imagine there's no end to the challenges that come with it as well. And I like that you talked about this idea of which I could relate to, which is, I think it was when you got to Mexico, you realized you realized you're the same person, right?
Yeah.
And it's like what do you think of the statement of like you take your baggage with you?
Oh my gosh. I think nobody expects that. You think I'm going to be this different person. You have this image, you know, in your head of like, well, if I change my life completely to be this big adventure, I will, you know, you kind of like picture yourself weeding out all of your less attractive habits. Like I won't binge Netflix anymore. And I won't, you know, I don't know, stay in every weekend because I can't be bothered to go out or whatever it is. And then you land anywhere and you're still the same person. You don't all of a sudden crave documentaries or decide I'm going to go to language class every day after work instead because that's so much more enlightening. No, you're the same person. And I think that people go to travel, a lot of people go into travel to escape something. And you can escape your job. If you are taking that route, you can get a different job and, you know, you can leave a lot behind, but you can never leave your baggage behind. And I think that it's something that a lot of people get hit with so hard that they quit traveling quite quickly because they realize that they, you know, they're even more alone with their feelings.
Mm. Yeah. There's something to be said for like just throwing yourself into a completely different world or environment. It's sort of that physical shift. I think it does trigger lots of things, but essentially, like we say, you are the same person.
Yeah.
So how have you navigated like the kind of practicalities of that and they call it the economics of it all?
The economics are surprising to a lot of people. It's actually for me, and I'm going to assume I'm kind of the average person. I paid a pretty average amount in rent in Chicago in the US, and I had like a $1,200 studio. I think that's pretty standard. And I think I've never paid more than that for an Airbnb almost. So the numbers wise, I actually pay less to travel full time because I don't have an apartment or a mortgage or a car or gas. I don't have a lot of those expenses. So then I just put that into an Airbnb month by month at a time. And numbers wise, it's, I would say, the same or less, which is pretty shocking to a lot of people, especially because I'm staying like waterfront on the Mediterranean or like on the Caribbean, you know, like walking out straight from the Airbnb onto the sand. And we pay about $1,000 a month for rentals. And the discounts are huge because my husband and I travel slowly. We book for a month at a time. Like right now we're in Croatia and this apartment is normally $3,000 a month, but because we booked it for one whole month and it's off season, it was only $1,000. So that's a huge discount.
That's awesome. So would you say you definitely place, call it experience over assets?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We don't really have very much. I have a box, a suitcase in storage with my in-laws and a few things in storage with my parents, but I carry everything else with me. I have a big backpack for my back and then like a smaller one for the front with my computer and stuff in it. That's really delicate. And that's everything.
I don't mean to bring it back to myself, but you're reminding me of things because every time I moved countries, I did what I like got less and less stuff because, you know, when you're packing up and you're leaving, you sort of have to be a bit ruthless and there's sort of things you want to hold on to for like sentimental reason, but you kind of forget about them. Then like I got a whole heap of stuff in my family's roof.
Mm.
And at the time when I was trying to sort it out, I'm like, I don't know how I don't want to get rid of it, but now I don't really think of it. And I go back and it's like old trophies and things that I couldn't bring myself to like throw away. But it was funny when I first came to Europe, I landed in Croatia. I started in Croatia. Actually, the first time I really like came to Europe, I went to Croatia and did like a yoga retreat, but I was moving to Germany. I was en route to Germany and I had, like you say, a big bag and a little bag, but like I had a heap of stuff and it was like weighing me down. And I basically ended up on this motorbike, like with all my shit on this motorbike, trying to like go along the Croatian coast. And I think it had a camera and a computer in it. But you do go through this process of detaching yourself from these things that we accumulate.
Yeah. Yeah, the last, I think if you pursue travel, you naturally become a minimalist the longer you stay on the road.
It's a process of like stripping everything away. So what are some of the like, obviously, you know, remote and Wi-Fi and everything's changed the game completely. And like you say, those when you are exposed to other cultures and like you realize there's cheaper living and things like that. But I imagine you've had moments where you just haven't been able to get an internet connection. Would you say true traveling anyway is without the Wi-Fi?
That is difficult. I think probably best case scenario, there's like internet at home. So you can download maps and do a little research, but not being connected. That's actually how I travel. I kind of live in the like early 2000s where I'm at home. I have the internet because I have Wi-Fi on my phone, but I've never had like roaming, like data. So every time I leave the Airbnb or the hostel, I've always been offline on airplane mode. And then you're not getting bombarded with messages. And I feel like that's kind of the sweet spot because you want to be in the moment whenever you're out. But it's also incredibly, I mean, I don't think you could convince anybody to not use the internet at all traveling, to use like Google Translate here and there and, you know, getting guides.
Yeah, technology's definitely changed things. I was in an Airbnb in Spain and the woman was holding the phone in my face every time I spoke. And it was kind of, a bit much.
Yeah.
It was like every time she wanted to speak, she like held Google Translate like at my like head. And it was, I guess it's
this balance. So funny.
Yeah, got very annoyed. That was one of the only Airbnbs we like actually left early, you know, we got out of there. Sometimes I guess with the Airbnbs, they're hit and miss, right? Sometimes they've jazzed up the photos, sometimes they're better than you expect. I imagine you've had quite a few experiences.
Oh yeah. The first time we ever booked something for a whole month, it was like on the coast of Crete in Greece. And it was beautiful. You'd see the Mediterranean. We thought it was paradise. And we showed up and I sat down on the couch and I like leaned on the armrest and the entire thing slid off the couch. And I like slow motion, just like slid on the floor with it. And I'm like, what happened? I'm so confused. I look and here, it wasn't really a couch. It was two mattresses and like pillows that made it look like a couch with a couch shaped cover over it. So it looked like a couch, but if you sat down, it like slid apart. And then that apartment also had mold, severe mold. They had to bleach the ceiling several times and then we had to leave the windows open and it was December and January. And it was, it was full of surprises and we were too tall. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm sorry. I don't know the meters. I'm very tall. And my husband's taller than me.
Oh, wow.
And even in the Netherlands, that's where my husband's from and where we lived, tallest people in the world. And we are both still like above average. So, and then we also got there and the desks were too short. So we literally like couldn't sit at one of the desks. It was like surprise after surprise. And it was still nice enough because it was our first time. And we were like, who cares? We're on the Mediterranean for a whole month and it's like $500 or whatever it was. But yeah, you have regrets sometimes about booking.
In those cases, do you leave very honest ratings?
I left a positive rating for that Airbnb because I felt like it was fair for the price. I mean, you don't get something dirt cheap like that. And, there were, you know, of course there were caveats. I feel like the couch was a bummer. Like that was disappointing. That was a weird piece of furniture that was uncomfortable, but in the desk, what are you going to do? Yeah, and the mold, it just happens. And they handled it right away. So I felt like they were really responsive, but sometimes, yeah, I had one very negative experience with a B&B in Mexico and the host was so nice, but she just couldn't fix the problems. Like the water shut off every day and the plumber's coming, but the plumber never came that day. He said he would come. It was always like 2 days later. And I told her, I'm just not going to leave a review because I know you really tried, but this was a big problem.
Yeah, that sounds fair. Like weigh pros and cons. We had one in Mallorca where we arrived and there was a line on the footpath in front of the, on the road, starting from the house and going along. And there was a bulldozer sitting at the start of the line. And we were there on the weekend and I looked at it and I'm like, I think on Monday morning, that bulldozer is going to start digging the line, like digging up the road. And it was literally like 6 a.m. on the Monday morning, the entire house started shaking like an earthquake.
Oh my gosh.
But it, like you say, the owner actually dealt with it. And we weren't at, because we were out and about doing things, we weren't actually in the house so much. So it worked out in the end. But have you had any, close calls or dangerous situations while you've been traveling?
Yeah, well, there's been health problems. I've had to deal with the, like I've needed medical care of some sort, like I need antibiotics or I had to go to the doctor or the hospital in I think like 6 or 7 countries. And that is always really, really challenging because not only do you not know what to do, but even once you're, let's say like you get an appointment or you're in the hospital, you've no idea what's happening. And nobody tells you because it's common sense. I bet you experienced this in Germany, that you have no, nothing is normal, quote, there's nothing universal about the doctor experience.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Don't get me started about German experiences. There are, you just realize like things are just done differently everywhere. And the medical stuff, you know, there can be an urgency to it. That can get pretty crazy. So for anybody looking at this type of lifestyle, what are the basic things that you'd recommend? Like, first of all, so you're essentially saying you sort of your base is in the States, and then because when do you get to a point where you're living somewhere where you have to end up getting like a social insurance number? You know, that's like when you have to get that number, you kind of need it for the long haul. You know what I mean? It's a tricky thing to. When does that point come where you're like in the system of the place that you're in, or because of the nature of remote working, can we now completely stay independent of that?
It depends on the country. I don't have a base in the States. I visit my family there, but my business is registered in the Netherlands. That's technically where my residence is, because I met my husband in 2017 in Guatemala, and then we came back to his country in the Netherlands for a while, set up the business there. So that's my residence. And as long as you're paying taxes somewhere, then most countries I'm not a tax expert, so I don't want to say don't want to say too much, but in our case, as long as we're registered and paying taxes and not living anywhere else. So we're just here on a tour, you know, on a temporary basis everywhere we go. And in Europe, it's really easy if you have if you have a way into Europe, and you have a residence permit in Germany, I'm assuming, or a permanent residence, or, you know, if you're here on a spousal visa or something, you get access to a lot of countries. That's kind of a nice shortcut because, you know, you get one visa process and you get access to everyone in the EU to travel. Yeah,
best of both worlds, I reckon. Like, I've got Australian and British. That's how I was able to stay in Germany, but then Brexit happened. But now I have a full, that was a bit of a bit of a crazy time. But now I have the full German residence. But the way I see it, particularly for my son as well, like to have both is awesome when you have access, because it kind of alleviates a lot of this bureaucracy.
Oh, it really does. And there's entire people who have businesses dedicated to this. So the term that's kind of used is like global citizen, where you look at your options and you think, well, I'll move there and establish my business and get residence because of the tax base. And it's all legal. I mean, everything you're doing should be legal, but there are legal ways to leverage these opportunities. And there's quite a few businesses and books that like cater to this specifically. And if you're willing to invest, I think 5 years or so, you can get another passport. A lot of people, I mean, it depends on the passport of your home country, which is unfortunate. There's a lot of passport privilege that goes into this, but I think your listeners are in the UK and Australia and the US primarily. So with those options, you can, if you're willing to invest a few years, you can get a second passport.
So would you
use that?
Yeah. So would you say you've become quite adaptable?
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of have to be whenever you never have all the information, which I consider myself to. I never have all the information about what's happening, whether you're in a hospital room and a nurse is yelling something at you, or even at the grocery store. I remember in Spain, whenever we first arrived in Spain, we went to the grocery store and I picked up like an apple or something. And I'm like feeling, you're like making sure it's a good apple, right? And I'm not thinking anything of that process. I've done this a billion times in my life. And if somebody comes running over, waving both of his hands, yelling at me, and he's like, use a glove, get a bag, I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And that is embarrassing, but it just happens sometimes. You never really know what's happening. You see something like a protest on the street, no idea, are they happy? Or, a group of people yelling, is that like a football game that just the local team won? Is that a protest? Is there something violent happening? You have to be very observe and react and accept that you'll never really know.
Yeah, and continually solve problems, I guess.
Oh,
which is part of the challenge, which is exciting as well. Like to continually be trying to find, I think we like to find solutions as human. In Spain, I was there my 30th birthday, and my sister and her partner gave me a football top, and they didn't of the local team with my name on it, but they didn't realize how intense the rivalry was in the town we were in. And I went into a bar wearing this top.
Oh,
and I was
gosh,
like almost vilified just for having the top on. So it was like actually walking into a bee's nest. But we just, like you say, we didn't know.
No. And even like holidays, it's funny, like things that are so obvious to everyone except for you, like going to the grocery store and someone's like, oh, it's Christmas, and you have no, Christmas, but some countries celebrate Christmas on a different day.
It's
not the 25th. So you have no idea. Or I remember the funniest one. We were in Lima. We were leaving to go to the airport and we're like 4 hours early because I'm kind of like a nut about being early for flights. And we get in a cab and he pulls onto the highway and stops, literally turns off the cab and parks on the highway. And all the cars are parked and we're like, what is happening? And he turned around and he said, El Papa Francisco, which is Pope Francis.
We're like, oh, the Pope.
Pope Francis is here. The one day in the last like 30 years that Pope Francis. And I remember living in Seattle a few years before that, and the Chinese president came. And for like 2 months, they alerted the public, do not be out. This is the day that the Chinese president is coming. All the highways will be shut down. Do not leave your house. Companies close, work from home. And thinking, oh, I knew about it. It was like practically like billboards and blimps flying over Seattle saying like, do not go on the roads the day the president comes. And then here we were just having no idea. And like, thank God we negotiated that cab fare before we got in the cab, because we sat on the highway for like an hour waiting for traffic to resume in a city of like 3 million people. That doesn't happen right away. So
that's the thing, right? You can only plan so much. And like sometimes here in Germany, someone will come to me and say, oh, my friend's going to Australia. Can you like meet them for a coffee and give them like, and I'm like, look, and I sit there and I'm like, you're going to go to Australia and you're going to have your own experience and you're going to find your way. And there's not a lot I can tell you. Like I can answer some basic questions about, but I have a friend here who went to Australia and did an amazing trip in his own van, and he saw, and he's a German guy who did far more than I did as an Australian. So when people ask me, I'm like, go to him, ask him. He did it like in a really efficient way. So I guess my point is, you know, you can only prep so much, and then, like you say, you get there and things start to happen, and you have to find your way. And I guess the traditional kind of stereotypical backpacker, I guess that doesn't really, it's not with all this remote working and everything now, like yourself, you have these solid Airbnb bases, and it doesn't fit the mold of, you know, I've got one set of clothes and a backpack on, which is a way to travel. But I think you're showing an example of like this new way to do it. Is that fair to say?
I think so, except the fact that it's actually not that new, and it feels new because the technology is new as we know it. It's not that old, but people have been doing this since the 80s. I found, to research my book, found who I believe is the first digital nomad. His name is Stephen Roberts, and he set out in 1983 with like the first portable computer, like the first portable laptop.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he lived on his bike in a tent, and he cycled around the US for 10 years and was a technology writer. And he used to send his articles on his little computer with a payphone, and it was called an acoustic coupler, and it had like suction cups that went on both ends of the receiver. And it would kind of, I know I'm butchering this explanation, but it kind of like Morse code the text to a fax machine, I believe.
That's crazy.
And he did that in the 80s. And then I also found someone in the, actually similar to you. Well, he was started in the UK and then moved to Australia, but his name is Rob Palmer. And he did it in the 90s with his family, living in a camper van, well, traveling in a camper van with his four kids and wife. And he had a big computer, and he used dial-up internet. He would like knock on people's doors and say, do you have internet? And can I pay you to use it for a little bit? And then if they said yes and yes, then they would take the cord and put it out the window of their house and take it in the window of his camper van. And he would work for an hour or so. And he told me that he is still friends with some of these people that he met doing that.
That's classic. Yeah, it is an age old thing. It's not, and it doesn't have to be internet. It's like just traveling the world with a journal, or it's essentially the same principle. It's funny how that the internet is like the currency. It's of value now. Like where can I plug in? It's a tradition on the show to have guests offer some kind of challenge to the listeners, and given your experience and your way of life, maybe towards somebody who might be considering this lifestyle, is there something that comes to mind?
I think my challenge for everybody is, whether you're considering travel or not, travel is a great way to achieve this, but you can do it at home too, is to make your environment more enjoyable today. So remove things that make you feel bad. Like if there's a book on your shelf that you see every day and think, oh, I should really finish reading that. Or you've like a pair of skis in the closet that you bought and never really used and it makes you feel bad, get rid of it. And then place things around you that make you feel good. Put a picture that reminds you of a happy memory, or make the background of your phone something that like gets you excited or for something in the future or makes you happy. And just become more aware of how your environment makes you feel, and then ruthlessly edit that.
That's very cool. We're products of our environment, right?
Yeah.
And I thought you might say, you know, pack up your things, but it's not about that. It doesn't matter where you are. It's like, how can you embrace and make that environment around you the best for you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So the book will be coming out around the time of this. So
yeah.
can you just introduce that and where to find it and so on?
The book is called How to Be a Digital Nomad, Build a Successful Career While Traveling the World. And it comes out in most of the world January 3rd and in January 30th in North America. And you can find it on most major book retailers. So whatever is the norm, local bookstores may or may not, it might have it online, especially it's available most places. And it's always available on Amazon. But if you can support something local, that's always a plus.
Cool. And just to finish, how far into the future do you plan, or if you find a place, do you tend to stay, or like, do you have a set itinerary for the next 5 years? What's the go?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask for the next 5 months. 5 years? No. We could try, but there's been a lot of changes. The world changes so quickly. Like we were going to go to South America, so we like went back to the Americas. We were planning on going south, and then there was a dengue fever outbreak that it was recommended not to go anymore. So the government website, we always go by government recommendations, which is something I really recommend to everyone if you're going to do this as well. So don't try to like parse the news yourself and establish how safe or unsafe things are. Just look at your Department of State. And then we were going to go to another country, and we were planning on going like a month into the future. You think that's pretty safe? And then it said do not go for civil unrest and terrorism activity. Don't go. So then we ended up here in Croatia. We were actually supposed to be somewhere different right now, but 5 years, no, not at all.
No.
Five months is a stretch if we plan that far.
Yeah, no, that I realized the 5 years was very far-fetched, but I love it. I love it when you do have like windows of flexibility where if you know, because the tendency is like go somewhere, do all the tourist stuff, and then you're like already you're packing for the next, you know, Aussies tend to do that, like go somewhere and like pack it all in, and then there's not a lot of time to actually just sit and take a place in. And also I've found on trips, like when if you like somewhere for some reason or whatever, just having a bit of a window to be able to just stay there a bit longer as opposed to like just rushing to keep moving, you're never gonna like kind of take absorb the place.
If you can work online and become, that's where you get that like real freedom, and you can become what I call a digital slow man and go slow, go to the grocery store, bump into the locals. You get to experience a different way, a whole different like level of each place, which is special.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.